Notice in your bulletins, our scripture reading is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Luke, chapter 9, and we want to look at verses 57 through 62.
Saying what you don't want me to say.
We commit this time to you with thankfulness. In your name I pray. And you may be seated. Many lives have counted greatly for the Lord down through the ages. You ever ask yourself, what was the secret? What was the secret why lives counted? What made the difference? Could it have been money? Was it the education they got? What about maybe just natural skills? Talents? Ability? Courage? Or they just happen to have that right personality? Do you think your life could be used by the Lord? Are you qualified? Our message that we've called this morning is, do you have what it takes? We've completed our study in the book of Philemon, and in a few weeks we're going to begin another series in the book of Jude, but for a couple of weeks or so, we're going to just be perhaps looking at what today I would simply call a topical message. And rather than the expositional, where we're in a particular passage of Scripture and taking it apart verse by verse. There we go. Were you giving me the signal, Dick? Oh, I thought he was pecking on his tie there that... Maybe I'm not coming through. You see, you think I don't look at you people, but I do. And I try to pick up signals. And by the way, I've had trouble with this thing here today. It thinks the rapture is about happening here today. And if during my message all of a sudden this thing is up, would somebody just put your flap back down again. I don't know why this thing has a mind of its own. But I give you that permission to just give me the thumbs down if it's time to put that thing down. But do you have what it takes? Do you think your life could be used and useful for the Lord? Well, today I want us to just look at some simple things that were true with four people in Scripture and see if we might glean some things from those that we could realize, wow, you mean something that simple could make a difference? Christ. I hope this will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. The first one that we want to look at is in Mark chapter 14. And I want us to look at verses 3 through 9. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. And it says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. That was a particular fragrant perfume. Very precious or expensive. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. I have a footnote on that, about $132, my Bible says. And it could have been given to the poor. And they murmured, they complained, they were very indignant against her, is what it took place. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. And whensoever, or whenever you will, you might do them good. But me, you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for the burial. Verily or truly I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Well, as we look at this and we're trying to find out what does it take to make a difference for the Lord, the first thing that we notice with this account of, this is Mary, by the way, of the two sisters, Mary and Martha, what would we say about this? We would say the difference that she made was found in the words of the Lord himself concerning her. The difference is this one did what she could. She did what she could. The Lord does not expect of us something that we can't do. Our Lord isn't like that. He's not looking for you or me to do something that we just can't do. But how pleased He is when someone simply does what they can. What can you do?
Well, I can't do anything.
Oh, really? Can you imagine the potential for the Lord's service if every one of us who knew Him would simply do this one thing for Him? That's just simply, well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do that, but I can do this. What a difference it would make if each and every one of us would just do what we can. But Pastor, you don't know me. I can't do anything. I find that hard to believe. I don't know that I've ever found anybody that had their health and their mental facilities at least partially intact. Sometimes I wonder about my mental facilities, but anyway, I find that hard to believe that there's people sitting in this room listening to me that would say, Pastor, in all honesty, there's not one thing I could do for the Lord and His glory. John was talking about this morning. In James chapter 1, as he concluded that lesson, and as Andrew said, how neat it is to see how the Lord ties things together. And in that portion of James chapter 1, John was emphasizing at the close of the class the importance that making sure that what we do is not being done to be seen simply of man. There's no glory to God in that. But we do what we do as unto the Lord, whether anybody sees us do it or not. That's when God gets the glory. Well, what can I do? Let's take an inventory here. How many of you can preach? Okay. Well, how many of you can teach? Okay, here's some hands going up. How many of you can sing? How many of you could work in Awana?
Well, I'm afraid to raise my hand. It's on that one.
I asked me. Let's look again. Let's take another look. Those might be some things that could be done that others might see. Right? I mean, if you're singing, we had a singer up here this morning, and how we appreciated that so much. Teaching, working in Awana, helping out. People see that. You say, well, I don't qualify for any of those things. All right, let's think about some things that maybe nobody is really going to see or know. How many of you could write a note of encouragement to someone who is down, discouraged, going through a tough time in their life, and slip it in their hand at church or drop it in a mailbox? Yeah. Nobody might ever see that except the recipient, the one who gets that. But you know, if you're doing that for the Lord, what a difference that can make. Here's another one. We all have them. How many of you could use your phone and call someone and tell them, hey, Fred, hey, Susie, you know, we've missed you in church the last couple of Sundays. I've been looking for you, but I haven't seen you there. Is everything okay? Is there anything that I can do to help you? How many of you have a phone and could use it like that? But I thought that was the pastor's job. That's what we pay him for. The pastor can't do everything. And you know, let me just tell you something. I know a lot of folks appreciate the pastor, but you know, I've been around this block long enough to realize that you know what really makes a difference. Oh yeah, they appreciate it when the pastor calls or whatever, but when a fellow layman or laywoman reaches out and makes a move in their direction, whether it's a note in the mail, whether it's a text on the phone, or an email, or an actual phone call. Are we getting the picture? To do what we can doesn't have to be some great, big, magnificent production to do what we can for the Lord is just to make ourselves available. Lord, how can I be of use for you? Would you show me what I could do? I've just suggested a few things. The sky's the limit. Who knows what abilities you have that you could do for the Lord? This woman, let's notice in verse 4 and 5 of Mark chapter 14, and I want to be honest with you on this one. When a person begins to get serious about wanting to make a difference for the Lord, in verse 4, there were some that had indignation within themselves. And to them, it was a waste. To them, it could have been expended in a far better way, while we could have fed some of the poor people with this. What are you getting at, Pastor? What I'm getting at is, you want to get serious about making a difference for the Lord, and you want to do something as simply just that, well, I can't do much, but I do know I can do this. Don't be surprised when people criticize you. Oh, look at her. Who's she trying to butter up? Who's she trying to get brownie points with? Who is she trying to impress? Why is he doing that? May I remind you that man looks on the outward appearance, but our Lord looks where? He looks upon our hearts. Forget what the opposition says when you have said, Lord, I'm giving this to you. You know my heart, and I want you to get the glory. Well, that's one of the ways that we can make a difference for the Lord, is by doing what we can. Turn back a couple of chapters in Mark's Gospel to chapter 12. And let's notice in verse 41. Jesus sat over against or opposite the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in, what's the next few words? All that she had. There's the next clue of how can I make a difference for the Lord. First, we said, sometimes just doing what we can is going to make a big difference for the Lord. Here's another way. Giving all that you have. Giving all that you have. And what the Lord said of her. All of these others, they just skimmed, they just gave a little bit of the skim off of the top. They didn't even miss it. But this woman, she gave all that she had, even all her living. What she needed and could have used for her own personal needs. Maybe food for the table for that particular day. In comparison, it seemed like what she did was nothing. Well, if we're just talking about outward appearances, it's true, isn't it? You look at the end of verse 43. I'm sorry, verse 41. There were many that were rich, and they cast in much. What are we talking about now? We're talking about the dollar total, aren't we? Casting in much. But the Lord spoke of the worth of what she was giving. The Lord does not expect anyone to give what they don't have. Do you know that? We pass that offering plate. Maybe there are some that sit there, and as that plate passes by each week, maybe you think to yourself, this is all I can give, Lord. I wish I could give you more. God knows your heart. Maybe others are sitting there and saying, what I have is so little. It's not helping out. It's not. You know, the church, they, well, we've got this furnace fund going now. Those things are, that's going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars to buy. The Lord does not expect anyone to give what they don't have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, it tells us this. It says, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man has, and not according to what he does not have. What are you saying, guys? If you're putting in X number of dollars, and that's all you can give, that's all you have to give to the Lord today because of other needs, God knows that. You say, but, you know, I would, well, I'd like to be able to give $1,000 a Sunday to the church. Well, that'd be great. I've never been the pastor of a church. This is my second pastor. Never been the pastor of a church where God had blessed someone enough that they were able to give $1,000 a Sunday as the offering plate passed by. And you say, well, you know, I wish I could. We hear about these missionary needs, and we hear about this fund, and we hear about that. I just wish I could give more. A man is blessed according to what he has, not according to what he does not have. And so as we think of this, I can well imagine that the rich men, back in our text in verse 41 of Mark 12, the many that were rich that were casting in much. Can't you imagine them scoffing as they watched this woman come and throw in two mites. This is, in today's value, that's just a few pennies. But these rich guys, man, they're plopping in their $10,000 check and this, that, and the other thing. But the Lord, he was watching, and it tells us there in verse 41, the Lord was sitting across the room, and he saw the box, and he saw the people coming by, and he saw person after person dropping in their tip to the Lord. That's what the rich folks were. They were just giving a little bit. And then he saw this widow come in. He saw her reach into that little bag. And he saw her empty the contents in that. And the Lord was so moved by that that he called his disciples to him. Verse 43, he said unto his disciples, he made her an illustration. He said, I say to you that this poor widow has cast in more than all they that have cast into the treasury. The Lord was not glorified by the dollar amount. The Lord was glorified by the attitude of her heart. That's what made the impression on the Lord. Because he knew this woman, because of her love for the Lord, gave all she had. What do you have that you could give to the Lord? He's pleased with servants who give all they have. You say, boy, Pastor, talk about hitting us between the eyes here. You know, you've got this fund going. Next week we've got this. What are you trying to do? Pump money into the coffers? No. That's not what this is about. It's about the hearts. If you give all you can honestly to the Lord is going to bless you because he knows your heart. If you give just a little bit that you're not going to miss, just kind of a little off the top of the heap, a little bit there. Go to church, they're always passing that plate. There, there. Yeah? The Lord knows your heart. And the Lord isn't glorified with that kind of giving. He's glorified when people give all they can. And how much is that? That's between you and the Lord, my brothers and sisters. There is no dollar figure on that. And that's the beauty of the fact that we're doing it as if God is going to give, get the glory, we're giving as unto him. Lord, I'm giving this for your glory, for your benefit. In your work, however you can use that. Well, is that the only two ways that we can make a difference? No, I told you we're going to look at four people this morning. Let's look at that third one. And for that, let's turn to Luke chapter 5. And we'll look in that fifth chapter. At verse 27, and 28. This comes on the heels of the Lord having just healed someone, having performed a miracle, and it says, and after these things, that's what things it is, he went forth and he saw a publican. What's a publican?
Tax collector.
Tax collector. He saw a publican or a tax collector named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. What's that? Sitting at his tax desk. Sitting at his desk, collecting taxes. And he, Jesus, said unto him, Levi, only two words, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Do you know what we're looking for on this third one? As far as, do you have what it takes to make a difference for the Lord? What's the key here? This one did what? Left all. Stop and think. You say, well, that's no big deal. Left all, follow the Lord. Tax collectors, first of all, it was no different in the Lord's time than it is in our time. How many of you are best buddies with the Internal Revenue Service? Don't you just love it when you get something in the mail from the IRS and it's not the right time of the year for them to be, what do we think? We have that hot sweat breaks out. What do they want now? What is the deal? What's not right? Well, in the Lord's day, tax collectors or publicans, they worked for the government, just like the Internal Revenue, and they were actually given this freedom. Each person, there was a certain amount of tax money that person owed the government. But the thing that made the publican's job so desirable in the eyes of the people was the fact that everybody knew that the publicans were always reporting, you know, let's say whatever the figure was, you owed 10 denarius. That's what Levi would have to send back to the government. But good old boy Levi, he would come to you and say, you owe 22 denarius this year.
How come my taxes went?
Oh, it's blaming on COVID or something. Your taxes, just, you know, food prices have gone up, gasoline prices have gone up, so have taxes. It just, you know, it just happens every year. Okay, here's my 22 denarius. And old Levi, he had two pouches. One of them got the 10 denarius for Uncle Sam, and the other one got the 12 denarius for his own personal needs. That was just the way it was. And whatever the market would bear, so to speak. That's the more you could convince people that they owe the government, the richer you're going to be. It was a very lucrative occupation. People didn't like them, but
who cares? As long as I got money in my bag.
And for Levi to follow the Lord was going to be a great financial loss as far as he was concerned. The Lord came along and said, follow me, in verse 27. And notice, he left all. Did you get that? Do you know what that means? He got up from his desk and he left the two pouches sitting right there, the government's and his. He just left it all behind him and followed the Lord. So many people, when you talk with them about serving the Lord or doing something for the Lord, oh, the excuses they come up with. We read for our scripture reading this morning, Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Do you remember the excuses as the Lord was talking? We started out in verse 57 and somebody just came up to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to be one of yours. I want to serve you. You know, I'll follow you wherever you go. The Lord, I believe this answer that the Lord gave them was due to the fact that the Lord could see the heart of the man who was saying that when he said, foxes, they have a hole to crawl in, and a bird has a nest to go to at night. But you know, anybody that follows me, anybody that's going to serve me, he's not even going to have a place to lay his head at night. Are you willing to do that? I believe the Lord gave that answer because he knew this man was thinking about the security that was going to be his if he signed up to be one of the Lord's own. Well, I wonder what the benefits are going to be. I wonder if there's going to be mileage paid for the miles on my car. I wonder if there's going to be insurance paid. I wonder if I get paid vacation. I wonder if I get medical bills paid. I believe the Lord could see that man. It was good sounding words for someone just to come up to the Lord and say, excuse me, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be one of yours. And the Lord looked at his heart and said, I know where you're coming from. You're looking for security, and you're not going to have it necessarily if you follow me. Then it goes on. He said to another one, follow me. And what we see in that one in verse 59, Lord, allow what? Me first. Let me first go and bury my father. It is believed by Bible scholars that what this man actually was saying was this. It wasn't that his father had just died and today or tomorrow I need to take care of a funeral for him. It is believed that what the Lord has put his finger on here is that this guy was saying, I'll follow you as soon as my parents are dead and gone. Well, how, what kind of health are you? Well, it's sometime in the future when my parents are gone and there's no one to hold me, I'll know. The Lord said, that's an excuse. You let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. The next one. Lord, I'll follow you, but I need to bid them farewell. I know that it is just upset my mom's apple cart. Lord, you got to give me time to season my mom that I'm going to go to the mission field. Or that, I've got to prep my parents to accept the fact that I'm not going to go to college and do what they thought I would do, but just give me time here. And the Lord said, if you're going to follow me, he says, no man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back, has second thoughts about it, is fit for the kingdom of God. You want to follow me, you follow me. Don't be making excuses. And here we see Levi, the man who came when he was called, and the man who left what he possessed, here in Luke chapter 5. There's one more, and that's Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, the scattering and the persecution was just beginning. It tells us that in verse 1, at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. That's the context of it. Let's let our eyes drop down to verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The context is this. Philip was in Samaria, according to verse 5, and God was using him greatly right there. Well, that's what we're talking about today, isn't it? Making a difference for the Lord. And here was a man who was already making a difference for the Lord where he was at. But does that mean the Lord is never going to move you someplace else? Does that mean just because you're making a difference where you're at, the Lord isn't going to come along and say, I've got another job for you? Sometimes you can get mighty comfortable in your surroundings. And you can say, boy, I'm so happy here. I'm so pleased. Boy, God is doing great things. God was doing great things with Philip in Samaria. Lives were being changed. People were accepting the Lord. They were following the Lord in baptism. Things couldn't be any better. What more could God want? Notice, if you would, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. The Lord didn't even tell him what he was going to do and what God had in mind for him. All God said is go. Leave the success of your ministry here in Samaria, and I want you to get on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, I-75 probably, that was headed down there. And it goes right into the desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto him, Go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. Beloved, there are some significant features here. Number one, we've already mentioned Philip was currently being involved in a very successful ministry for the Lord. Who in their right mind would ever think about leaving? It wasn't Philip's idea. Philip was serving there in Samaria. But the Lord just simply said to him, Go get on this road. Get out of here. And he went. And as he went, he discovered here was a man. The Lord's work is with whom or what? Is it with things, or is the Lord's work with people? And here he saw this man in this chariot in verse 29. The Spirit said unto him, Go near. Join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. My point is, Philip didn't know why the Holy Spirit had told him to leave a successful ministry. But the Spirit said, Go. And he went. And when he took that step, then the Lord showed him what? What was the next step? My point is, God doesn't always lay out all of his plans and everything God has intended all at once. What was the feature here with Philip that made the difference? Here was the man who went where he was sent, and he didn't even know what he was going to find. Here's the man who went where he was sent. He left the crowds to talk to one man about the Lord. Well, here we have it. We looked at these four individuals this morning. And we could continue this theme and we could see others But I trust that what we looked at this morning, these four individuals and these stories, they're not new. You've heard these stories before. We haven't pulled someone out of isolation and obscurity. No, it was Mary who did what she could for the Lord, and the Lord blessed her. We see that it was an unnamed widow who gave all she had, and the Lord blessed it. God was blessed, and we talk about this woman, and we preach about her in the 21st century, and we don't even know what her name was. But we know what she did, because that is what God blessed. When she gave all that she had. And we think about the man, Levi, Matthew. That's another name for Levi. Oh, what did the Lord do with Matthew? This one who came when he was called and he left what he possessed. He followed when he was called. What did the Lord have planned for him? How about being the one that would pen the first of the four Gospels, and it bears his name, not Levi, but it bears his name, Matthew. Yes, the Lord had a purpose for him. And then we looked at this last one, Philip. Do you qualify? What a challenge. These qualifications. The thing of it is, it seems to me that these are something that I think we could all qualify in, don't you? We're not talking about college degrees. We're not talking about the wealth of the world. We're just talking about right down to earth, common you and me. And that's what I hope the Spirit of the Lord will impress upon each of us this day. Shall we close in prayer? Father, thank you for these stories that are there in the Scriptures. Thank you for the significance of them when we stop and think about them. May we take to heart what we have heard this morning. May we search our own hearts. May we find ourselves asking, Lord, Lord, what's your will for me? How can I make a difference for you? And may we be willing to do what we can, give what we have, follow when you call.